podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yeah, I mean, I'm likely not going to play past the summer. You know, I get asked about it after every single match that I play, every single tournament that I play. I'm bored of the question, to be honest. I'm not going to talk more about that between now and whenever the time comes for me to stop, but yeah, I don't plan on playing much past this summer.
Ready? Play.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, as it is in deepest, darkest Scotland. Scotland may be a little bit deeper and darker this evening as well than it was maybe 24, 48 hours ago. Scott, you probably heard these words many times in the last few hours coming from Andy. Does it get any better? You know, when you if you heard the clip just now, which I guess you did, does your heart sort of race? Does it go in your mouth? Does emotion come over you?
I mean, for sure. I mean, it's more of a, like, it's weird to, I mean, I don't want to try and speak for every Andy Murray fan out there at all. But I think for me, it's more just like, you know, because it's been coming for so long. It's been like, you know, referenced, it's been asked of him. It's, you know, it's almost been a, like a consistent conversation in the last like few years. It almost, I just felt a little bit like empty today in the last kind of few hours, really, just kind of a little bit despondent. And I think I don't know if so this conversation, what I think you're referring to early, or like the comment he made after his match that he won a few days ago. When he said just flippantly at the end of his encore interview that he'd keep trying his best over these last few months, and obviously there was a big conversation on online about what he meant by that. If, you know, it was just, you know, a kind of flippant comment, you know, last months could mean a year. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously following his match today where, yeah, obviously, you know, he lost to a very good opponent, but he really wasn't, you know, at his best as we've seen him. And then to obviously see him announcing that it's likely that he won't be playing past the summer is, I guess, kind of a, you know, okay, this is where we're at now. I do enjoy very much, and it's very Andy to leave the door open to the possibility that maybe he will keep playing past the summer. Maybe a miracle will happen. Maybe lightning will strike at Wimbledon and he wins the entire tournament. And he's like, oh, well, I'll play for another 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But it is that kind of, I've never seen a more realistic tennis player than Andy Murray. Towards the end of his career in these last few years. Like, this is exactly the end of a career that we knew we would get from him. And it's exactly the kind of emotions that I expected to be feeling, just a sort of emptiness of the fact that very soon we're not going to see him on court again. So yeah, I am a little bit emotional, won't I? I do feel the emotions right now, but that's okay. That's what tennis players do to us, right?
Yeah, indeed. I can imagine. Shrihi, it's good to see you in the chat, and it's good to see you for a few reasons. One, because you provided us with video content, but also, in a way, we've got this sort of, not quite confirmation, but we've got a lot more solidity to what he said on court yesterday, today. And yes. I want to flesh it out for some of those tuning in, because, of course, I think he would have been asked about this yesterday if it wasn't for the fact that I know exactly how these things work, and Shrihi basically told me as well that the reason he didn't get asked is because he's giving those comments on court whilst the journalists are racing to the press room, because they are given sometimes quite short notice. So they're racing to the press room. He's given these on-court quotes, but the journalists are not aware of these quotes when 10 minutes later he walks into the press room. Otherwise, we would have got a little bit more solidity yesterday, but we've got it now. Scott, there is something else that I want to address, is that I think for me, the Australian Open loss he had in the first round and then some of the losses he's had since have been also an indication that this is coming. I mean, whether he said what he said yesterday on court, I mean, there was the article as well on in the BBC website. I know it upset a few people, including Andy himself, but there has been a drip feed of results this year that has led, I'm sure, to Andy making this decision, if you like, and also a drip feed to the watching audience, right?
Yeah, I mean, it has just been a kind of steady, like almost like a downhill kind of slope, really. If we think back, he reached a handful of ATP tournament finals in the last few years, the last of which was maybe a year ago, just over a year ago. And at that point, we were like, you know what, he's kind of close. Like, he's kind of close. He's a match away. He's a match away from getting an ATP title there. But I think it's a manner in which he lost those kind of events that really kind of started this kind of downhill trend. Like, I recall he played a final against Daniil Medvedev, and he got beat fairly convincingly in that final. Because obviously Daniil Medvedev is a fantastic player, but it was a fairly convincing straight sets loss. And then, yeah, just kind of from then on, it's just been a steady, steady real stream of, in my recollection, the best he's gotten kind of since those finals, maybe a third round appearance somewhere, And that is just really not going to do anything for him. Like, it's not going to do anything for him. And I think, like, I've written before that I think we're long past the point of saying, oh, but he can keep playing until he, you know, he should just go out there. And it's just like, he's loving it. He's enjoying it. And I think there just comes a point where, like, love can only take you so far. Do you know what I mean? Like, there comes a point where it's like, this guy used to be in the final of these things. This guy used to be the favorite for these sort of tournaments. And to no longer be in that position, you know, is, and even like the people who's like, oh, you should drop down to challenger level. He did that. He dropped down to challenger level and won three titles there, and then came back to the ATP level and just realized that maybe it's not there anymore, you know? And I think that's what he's realizing just steadily over the last kind of few weeks, really, is that, yeah, steadily it's not there for him anymore. And I think you're right. I think the Australian Open, I think he maybe was starting this year thinking, I'm doing well. I can, let's see how this translates on the court. And then, yeah, just, it's just not there anymore for him. And that's sad, but it's a way that a lot of tennis players go at the end of their career. So that's, I think, where we find ourselves, rather unfortunately.
The last 5 years since the sort of return after the hip issue has seen him, of course, have a title in Antwerp. Some epic wins, of course, just over a year ago in Australia. There have been shoots of optimism as well, even in the last sort of 12 to 18 months that have led people like me, but even more so, I'm sure, the Murray fan base to think, oh, he could have, like, so this time last year, I was looking at the US Open of 2022, where I know he lost to Berrettini, but, you know, Berrettini in that particular moment was a Grand Slam contender. And in fact, there were shoots of optimism even during that match that a comeback could have been on the cards. And if you're competing with Matteo Berrettini at a Grand Slam in what I think was the third round, then why not get to a second week? Why not make a quarterfinal of a Grand Slam? Then, of course, we saw the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. We saw the performances where he ends up beating Matteo Berrettini in a five-set epic, and then obviously also beating Kokkinakis and, you know, losing, okay, in four sets, but that was okay, if you like, against Bautista Agut. And then, of course, you mentioned the final run in Doha a year ago. And if you're doing this and you're getting these kinds of results against these kinds of opponents, then it's not nonsensical to go, you know what, at his best slam, with the right conditions and a half-decent draw, where at this time a year ago we were thinking he could be seeded for Wimbledon, meaning he would avoid the big guns until the third or fourth round, you know, why not make the quarterfinals? And if you're in the quarterfinals and you're playing Safiulin, as it could be, you know, why not make a semi-final? We're not quite going as far as saying a final or a win, but why not one have one last hurrah? But the last 3 months, I mean, I'm thinking about some of those Dimonor defeats as well, which you must want to just put a picture of Dimonor on a dartboard and throw, throw certain things at it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, even I think it's even worth mentioning his Wimbledon run last year, when he lost to Tsitsipas. Yeah. Like, there's been signs, you know, there's been signs. Like, if he'd won that Tsitsipas match, he would have been in the second week of Wimbledon. You know, that would have been him. So yeah, I mean, there has been, but then I think there was a quote like towards the end of last year from him that said, "I'm going to see how, like, the next kind of few months go." And I think that's exactly what we've seen. He's seen how the last few months have went and just, I think, realized. And I also, I think I'd also highlight the fact that I think he's just sick and tired of it. Like, I think he's tired of it now. His quote there, I think, like, the highlight where obviously he says, "I don't plan on playing much past the summer," and then directly immediately jumped in and said, "I'm just sick of these questions, sick of answering."
I know, but the problem is, Scott, though, him saying that is going to now bring on 1,000 questions over the next few weeks.
For sure, absolutely. And I think this is something I spoke about on a recent episode of Murray Musings.
You've got a podcast, Scott. I didn't
know. Of course, yes. This is something I spoke about on there. He's just the most contradictory of players, Andy. Like, he's just a ridiculously contradictory player. Because of course, people are going to ask him about, you know, his future in the game if he is on court making comments like, "Oh, I don't want to do this anymore," or "I'm done here," or "This sport isn't for me anymore." Like, and yes, he referenced that a little bit the other day when he was like, "You know, things I say on the court don't always make sense." It's like, right, well, yeah, but like, you're going to be asked about it. You are going to be asked about it. That's like the journalist's job, to be like, Andy, what did you mean there when you say, "Oh, I want to end this career. I want to finish tennis. I'm planning to retire." Do you know what I mean? Like, people are going to ask stuff about that. But that's also why we love him, is that he's just the most frustrating of players, because, you know, he changes his mind all the time. He goes back and forth on his ideas. He doesn't know what he's doing half the time. He retired once and then changed his mind to come back and play more tennis. Like, he's like all of us. He changes his mind all the time. He's not sure what he wants. He's not sure what he's doing. And I think he's just a bit scared of finishing his career, because I don't know if he knows or has any clue. Maybe he does more now, but I'm not sure if he does know what he's going to do without tennis, without professional tennis. And I think maybe that's held him in the game a bit longer too. So I don't know. There's just so much questions around his every move at the moment. And I think he might just be a bit tired of it, which is, I think, what we're seeing here. So,
yeah, I think so too. To me, he looked a little bit off the pace in Australia, which is the first time I would say that. I mean, off the pace against Bautista Agut after you've spent 12 hours on court in the previous two rounds, that's kind of all right. And you still push it to four sets in the third round of a major. But off the pace in the first round against the Argentinian, whose name escapes me, in Australia this year.
Don't ask me. I'm bad. I'm bad with names other than Andy's. Yeah. Like, Andy.
Lundelo, was it he lost to in the first round?
Yes. I think so. Yeah. Somebody will correct.
So anyway, thanks, James, as well. I've got someone here. James, by the way, James, if you haven't already subscribed, make sure you click that subscribe button and enjoy what we've got left of Andy's career. Talking of which, there is sort of three or four trains of thought if this is the last few months. I think it's interesting that he used the last few months. He didn't say this is my last year on tour, like a lot of tennis players would, because, you know, Andy would obviously ring three particular events coming up. And he sort of talked about the summer, which as well means, you know, that's obviously, you know, Wimbledon is in that conversation. The Olympics is obviously in that conversation, and the US Open can be squeezed in as well, because, you know, summer certainly can go over into September, particularly in New York. But, you know, we've got, so he might not make the Olympic team, which I think is a distinct possibility. You know, Draper and Evans and I don't know what the double scenario would be. I don't know how exactly the permutations would work out. I think if he's eligible for it, that may well be the end, rather than the US Open. But equally, if he doesn't make the team, Wimbledon's not a bad ending. I see the US Open as being the third most likely of the three to be his sort of goodbye.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Like, I saw some people, you know, referencing the US Open as a possibility. And of course, you know, people are like, oh, it was where he won like the juniors and then where he won his first major. And it's like, well, yeah, but like Wimbledon is Wimbledon. Like, Wimbledon and Andy Murray are so kind of tightly entwined with each other. Like, surely that would make the most sense. But then the Olympics, of course, as well. And he even said, I think there was a quote from him before this match where he gave an interview saying that he would love to play the Olympics one more time. But then you're right. Like, I also don't think that he would want to be selected if there were better players at the time. I don't think he would want a sympathy vote to go to the Olympics. And I just don't think. Yeah, I don't think he would want to do that. Of course, it would be nice, but also, I don't think he would want it to, like, just as a consolation, just as a chance to retire.
And his Olympic story's been written. That box has been ticked. It's done. You know, whether he lost in straight sets in the first round or whatever happened at Roland Garros doesn't really affect his Olympic legacy, if you like. Obviously, having got gold in London in 2012, and didn't he get gold in 2016 in Rio as well? Was it?
He did indeed. He picked up also a mixed silver as well, which people often overlook, the mixed double silver medal that he got in 20.
I mean, his Olympic legacy is greater than Rafa's, Rogers, and Novak put together.
As I like to say many times.
I think, listen, winning a match at Wimbledon would be amazing. That will obviously depend on who he plays in the first round, of course. That would just be an amazing way. And then obviously, you know, some kind of glorious defeat at somewhere that would just be a marvelous end to what's been a marvelous career.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's also like the part of this entire thing where, again, it's a very Andy way to end this to end his career with a big question mark. Okay, Andy, but like, where are you going to do it? Like, where is he going to do it? And I feel like part of it, will kind of rest. You know, if he goes to Wimbledon, right, and he reaches what, like the second round or third round or something, and he has, as you say, like a really good loss, I think he might just come off court and just be like, "That's me." Do you know? Like, I think he might just say, "That's me done." You know, like, "That's me finished." I don't envisage him being like, before Wimbledon, oh, this is my last tournament, by the way. I think he's just going to see. He doesn't plan on playing past the summer, but that could mean any kind of, as you say, like any array of events. I don't see him like going to Cincinnati and retiring there. Do you know what I mean? I don't see that happening. But yeah, I mean, obviously Wimbledon is like the place. But I think he's just going to wait and see, isn't he? You know, if he plays Wimbledon and has an absolute crushing defeat as well, I think also that could go one of two ways. Could be, I want a tiny bit more. I want to try and, you know, show something left. Or he might just be like, "That's me done. That's me finished" as well. So I think it could go in a few different ways.
By Wimbledon, he may have a clearer idea on where he's at in terms of the Olympics, because that'll just be a couple of weeks away. So, you know, of course, because he also said in the press conference, he said he'd like to do one more French Open, and I do expect that to happen. This time last year, that was a conversation as well that was being had. I remember being in a press conference where actually his indecision was both shown and spoken about amongst the journalists, which were saying that, you know, because he just couldn't make his mind up. This is in May of last year in Madrid, just a few weeks away from the French Open. Just couldn't, because he said he would like to do one more French Open a year ago. But then he also, at that point, was on the was on the verge of winning a couple of challenges, one of which, of course, was in Surbiton on grass. And there was a lot of optimism going into Wimbledon. So I think by then it was like, you know what, I want to put all my eggs in, understandably, in the Wimbledon basket. And he even played, I think, that Surbiton tournament in the second week of the French Open. This year, it's a slightly different narrative. And it's like, you know, I want to say goodbye at one or two of these places that I've been at and had some either some success in Roland Garros or obviously a lot of success at Wimbledon.
It kind of feels like the whole kind of like Roland Garros thing is interesting because, I mean, like obviously he's going there predominantly for like a goodbye. Like, I've never been the most optimistic of Andy fans. I'm always kind of like the Debbie Downer, but like he is, come on, realistically, he's going to go there and get beaten in the first round. Like that's what's going
to
happen.
Okay. He wants to say goodbye. It's okay. And in fact, you know, in a way, him losing in the first round at Roland Garros is okay, because then maybe he will then end up playing Surbiton, the challenger, a week later if he's got the energy for that, which will then put him in a reasonable sort of grass court condition to get a win or two at Wimbledon. So an epic 5-set win over Jaime Munar in the first round at Roland Garros might be fun, but he could end up then getting injured in the second round and having no farewell at Wimbledon at all.
Yeah, I think it's also worth pointing out, like somebody pointed out on Twitter today, that it's I think it may have been Dry Volley's Rashmi, if she's a big Andy Murray fan on there. She says something along the lines of she really enjoyed how Andy's still playing challenger events. Like he's booked in to play a challenger event, I think, in the second weekend in Wales. Like, so he's obviously like planning, trying to get himself into some sort of a form to finish his career in some sort of form. Do you know what I mean? And it's just nice. It's the most Andy Murray way to, like, he just loves his game. So he's going to drop down a level, even in the last few months of his career, even when he could realistically get a handful of final wild cards for like the biggest events and just focus on those. He's still going to, you know, go play a wee challenger somewhere. This is a question for me here.
It looks like it.
Get to Wimbledon this year. Am I going to try and get to Wimbledon this year? My gosh. I mean, I would love to. I would love to. It all comes down to cost, really, for me. I've actually, I think it's saying this on here would be fine. I've applied to try and work there at Wimbledon, the Wimbledon tournament this year. So if anybody's in the chat who knows anybody else, or put a good word for me.
Can you say any more, or is that all you can say, Scott?
Well, it's one of the, to be honest, the roles were open for everyone, so I hope other people maybe saw them as well. They're like media roles, I think, come along for everyone. Wimbledon kind of advertises them every year. They're kind of entry-level kind of media opportunities for people obviously interested in tennis, and I think there was like a broadcast assistant one, which is one of the ones I went for, and then there was other opportunities too. So potentially work in the event would be amazing. Obviously, as a fan, I would love to go, but to get to Wimbledon is a cost, and it's, you know, a lot of time, especially coming from Scotland and stuff. But it's Andy's last tournament, so I would love to be there in some capacity. We'll see. I would love to, but it's all up in the air.
Maybe one more for the road. Sean here asking about, will Scotland produce another Murray in our lifetimes?
I would love to think so. I would love to believe.
I mean, another Murray is three times Grand Slam winner. I mean, very few countries produce one of those. Never mind countries as small as Scotland.
Yeah, I just don't know. I've been lucky enough to have a few conversations with Judy Murray about it, Andy's mum. And she, she's actively been, you know, spoken out about the kind of, you know, her disappointment in terms of like the legacy that Andy might leave here, because it's not been carried through by the people in charge of tennis in Scotland. The LTA haven't really like backed it up too much. There goes my chances of getting that Wimbledon job. Never mind. That's fine. But to be honest, I don't see it. Like, we're gonna have some good players here and there, I would think, but I just don't know if Scotland is set up. I think it should have been, obviously, while Andy was at the top of the game. Like, it should have been like, oh, yeah, Scotland can do this. But unfortunately, we'll have a few odd good players, I would think, but I just don't see another Scotland Wimbledon champion anytime soon, to be honest. I don't know if anybody else can maybe disagree with me and name somebody who we should look out for, but I just
in the comments section below, if you're watching retrospectively, do that, and also give Scott a follow on Twitter at BarclayCard18. I have no idea where he came up with that name, by the way, BarclayCard18. I don't know if it's on your 18th birthday.
You know what, neither. I'll tell people right now, I used to get called when I was at school. I used to get called Barclaycard because that's my second name.
Okay. I mean, I know she's telling you.
And Barclaycard's like, you know, they're like Barclays Bank. So like, I think that was like Barclay, like, I don't know. I don't even have a Barclays Bank account, but that was where it came from. And I just ran with it.
But if Barclays would both sponsor this YouTube channel and of course your podcast and fund your trip to Wimbledon, then other bank. In fact, we can change it to Santander HSBC if necessary.
Absolutely. We'll take any, we'll take anything that we can get. Can I say, John, before we wrap up, can I give a massive like plaudits to yourself, like to Talking Tennis? Cause I don't know, folks, everyone in the chat, anyone who's watching, if you've tuned in to what kind of John's been doing, but like it's been fantastic. Like the amount of kind of opportunities you've been able to give people who have been, you know, following and working alongside yourself, collaborating with you, getting press credentials for different tournaments. It's been crazy. And I can't imagine the amount of work that's been taken you. So massive shout out, massive plaudits to yourself, because it's on the upward trajectory. So it's nice to be part of it as well. Nice to be part of it.
It's been great. It's been great so far, Scott, and a big thanks to all of those that have been various parts of the world. I think on one or two days in the last few weeks, we've had three different people in three different parts of the world producing content for us. So that's been great. And right now, of course, Srihari is in Dubai. Well, that's where he lives, but he's also been attending the tournament there and providing us content, including the content which was coming out today regarding Andy's retirement. Any final word before we end this stream on a slightly dour but sad but hopefully some sort of optimistic tone regarding the next few weeks?
Sure. I would just say let's try and enjoy it, right? I've always said that there's going to be a time where Andy Murray isn't an active tennis player anymore, and we're going to miss him. And we are, like, we are, regardless of how much we enjoy and squeeze the life out of these last few months to watch him and appreciate him. Like, we're still going to miss him. We are going to miss him. And, you know, there's going to be a, my gosh, like, what if we capitalize on him? What if we had a huge amount of more tennis players from Scotland? But the reality is we're unlikely to have somebody of Andy Murray's caliber, like, to watch again. Like, I just, from Scotland, and I think... we owe it to ourselves to appreciate and enjoy what we have left of him. He did everything that we'd ever asked him to as well. Like, he did everything that anybody could have ever asked of him. There's always going to be a few what ifs. He played in a different era. He could have won more, but like, what's the point in that? Like, he did everything he set out to do, I think. And yeah, let's sit back and let's enjoy it together these last few months.
Yeah. World number one, three times Grand Slam winner, multiple gold winning and silver medal winning at doubles, Andy Murray. A few more weeks, or a few more months with Andy on court. So a few more months for you to continue with your Murray Musings podcast. And I don't know, maybe you can evolve it into a sort of, you can do some sort of retrospective stuff on there, which I'm sure you've done already, but I'm sure you'll find another way of keeping that pod going for a while more yet. Scott, big thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, John. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Make sure you check out Scott on Twitter at BarclayCard18. Also check out Murray Musings with him, Claire, and Peter. Give their podcast a follow and a listen. And also Popcorn Tennis as well. I know, keen to have people writing. So if you're in the live chat, if you're watching retrospectively, get in the comment section below if you've got any questions about Popcorn, Murray Musings, or anything. I mean, you can ask me about a recipe for cottage pie. If you do that, I'm thinking to myself, why are you asking a tennis podcast when there's a thing called Google out there? But whatever, we'll still try and do our best. And probably some sort of haggis recipe as well. Recipe using haggis, I should say, rather than the recipe for haggis itself. Anyway, listen, we've got to go. Scott's got a thing to do. I don't, but we're still going to finish this stream. Big thanks again, Scott. And we'll speak to each other soon.
We'll speak soon, John. Cheers. Bye.
If you enjoyed this video, make sure you hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification bell so you don't miss out on all things tennis.
good match from his side. He served well, didn't give me too many free points. You know, he plays very offensive tennis, and he's obviously playing extremely well, you know, the last 6 months or so, and yeah, not as many sort of errors as, you know, as before. Yeah, I was also not best pleased with how I played on my side of the court. I could have done a better job to make it harder for him.
Just to follow up on something you said on court last time, which we couldn't hear because we were down here.
Yeah.
You said the last few months, were you really referring to you thinking of stopping in a few months, or can you elaborate a little bit on what you meant?
Yeah, I mean, I'm likely not going to play past the summer. You know, I get asked about it after every single match that I play, every single tournament that I play. I'm bored of the question, to be honest. And yeah, I'm not going to talk more about that between now and whenever the time comes for me to stop. But yeah, I don't plan on playing much past the summer.
And can you just reflect on how important it is to have your family or your dad that we saw in the crowd in Dubai? How crucial is it for you to have them on tour with you and the support that they give you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really important for me. I've always been very lucky because my brother is, you know, on the tour, so although he's always had a family presence with me for most of my career, and then obviously my mum has, you know, an involvement in the sport, which, you know, takes her to some tournaments that we're at anyway, and also she chooses to come and, you know, travel with us, certainly more in the last few years. You know, she's come along to support, and yeah, I think it helps. I think all of the players would say the same thing. You know, tennis can be quite a lonely sport at times, so the support of your team, you know, that you have around you is extremely important. And you know, when your family are able to travel or come along and watch it, you know, it does help.
Andy, a match like today, where like you said, where he's, you know, winning the points and putting things away, not giving you cheap points, how is that easier to take in and digest rather than a close finish at this stage of your career?
I don't know. I mean, it's easier. Like last week, obviously, I lost a very close match, and you know, immediately after the match, there's probably more disappointment because you're so close to winning. But when you reflect on it, like actually, you know, played a decent match there. You know, played relatively well. And yeah, so after a few days, probably easier to, you know, to get over and probably feel a bit better about your game than, you know, whereas, you know, today, well, maybe there's less disappointment because you're far away from winning the match, but I would imagine in a couple of days I'd be looking back going, yeah, you know, that was a great match from my end.
Tough luck, Andy. I know Olympics is very important to you, so what is your goal in the Olympics? Is it just to represent your country, or is there some goal, some medal you want to achieve? And if you were to favor either Wimbledon or the Olympics, which would you choose?
Look, I mean, in tennis, I mean, Wimbledon's not by everyone, but a lot of people is considered to be the biggest tournament in the sport, and being British, you know, Wimbledon is obviously an extremely special tournament. So, I mean, I would have to probably say Wimbledon, but, you know, the Olympics, I'd love being part of that. It's been, you know, some of the best experiences of my whole career, being part of the British team. And, you know, when I got to carry the flag out in Rio was, yeah, it was an amazing moment. you know, I love sport, so to get the chance to do that for your country was really special. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, both of them are special. I wouldn't want to necessarily pick one or put one of the others down. I've loved my experiences in both.
Andy, since you said you won't be playing, probably playing past the summer, do you foresee playing Roland Garros maybe for one last time this year?
Probably, yeah. You know, last few years I've tried to give myself maybe better preparation for the grass season, but that also doesn't guarantee that you're going to play really well on the grass. I've had experiences through my career where, you know, I didn't play the French Open in 2013 and I won Wimbledon, but I also played the French Open and did really well in 2016, and I don't think it makes a huge difference if you get an extra week's practice or so on the grass. So yeah, I would like to play one more time.
All right, well, thank you.
You said Roland Garros this year. Would it also be because the Olympics is going to be played there, as maybe like a preparation or something that you play? Is that?
No, I like the tournament. I like playing at Roland Garros. I mean, obviously, yeah. If you want to do well at the Olympics, you're probably going to have to, you know, play some tournaments and get matches in on the clay. But it's yeah, even if the Olympics was not after Wimbledon, I would still want to play it.
If you enjoyed this video, make sure you hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe and click that notification bell so you don't miss out on all things tennis.
Sports Social Podcast Network.